We praise Allah Jalla Majdahu for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for allowing us to be in the Ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and fasting thus far on this radio station. We have discussed the origin of fasting and also the three types of people who fast, also the three levels of fasting. Then we have discussed the three basic purposes of fasting. After that, alhamdulillah, we discussed the six benefits of fasting. And then we also explained a little bit about i'tikaf, its purposes and its type. And in another program we discussed the high possibility, and we substantiated with 44 proofs that it could be 27th, the night of Laylatul Qadr. Today, inshallah, we will discuss further on, starting from why in Sharia there is this concept of fasting. Why Islam wants us to fast? Why the Deen wants us to fast? Why the Sharia, as explained and practiced and expounded by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why we should fast? Every man is made up of two qualities, Ruhaniyat and Haywaniyat. Ruhaniyat, the spiritual side, and Haywaniyat, the animal side. And man has the ability, the potentiality, and the capacity of superseding and suppressing the animal quality in him. And this can only materialize when the spiritual side of man is stronger and more powerful than the animal aspect and the animal energy. So there are two energies in man, the spiritual energy and the animal energy. And man is able to suppress the animal energy and make it obedient. The spiritual side can control the animal side and make it obedient. And this can become a habit. This will result in what? The animal side not becoming rebellious. And this is the special purpose of fasting, that the spiritual side takes over the animal side. The special purpose of fasting is that the spiritual side controls and disciplines the animal side. And when the animal side becomes obedient, subservient, then control results. And this is what has been stated in Surah Baqarah, Ayat 183, that Allah Jalla Majdahu says, أَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain piety. This is the wisdom of fasting. Wisdom of fasting is that a person becomes pious. The purpose of the order of fasting is to create taqwa in a person and to prevent and to prohibit the nafs from inner desires and make this a habit. This is the basis of taqwa. So Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi discusses this purpose of fasting and he discusses the wisdom of fasting from two angles. And he says, by fasting, one is able to grip with force and with strength, and one is able to control the animal self by letting the spiritual self be given an opportunity. The spiritual self is harnessed by the method of fasting. All other forms of ibadat also allow the spiritual self to control the animal self and make it subservient to and obedient. If you look at all our ibadat, Hajj, Salat, a person, he does not want to adorn the Ihram. A person feels uncomfortable in the Ihram. A person, he does not want to move in these two pieces of cloth, calling out, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. A person does not want to go in the crowds and go from Mecca to Mina and then to Arafat and plead before Allah and come and spend the night in Muzdalifah. All this is contrary to his inner self, his inner desires, but he still does it. Why? Because he wants to take the spiritual self and place it over the animal self. Similarly, Salah, the person is very reluctant to go for Salat, and he feels it like a burden, and he wants to not leave the shop. He does not want to leave the comfort and the warmth of the bed. He does not want to leave the company of the family and go out for Salah. He does not want to leave the presence of his wife and children and go out for Salah. He does not want to bear the cold and go out for Salah. But he does it. And when he does this, he gives his spiritual self an opportunity to suppress the inner desires. By doing so, he becomes pious and righteous. Because once man is able to control inner desires, nafs, then he becomes pure, good, pious, and a righteous life comes into existence without the fear of attack from the inner self. See, when animalism is out of control and it raises its head, then it does not allow the spiritual qualities to become exposed. When a person's animal self controls him, then the angelic qualities do not become exposed. Then it is necessary to address the situation. Then it is absolutely necessary to break the whole of animalism. It is essential. A way has to be produced to reduce the strength of animalism. See, when a person is out of control, his anger is out of control, his passion is out of control, his lust is out of control, his intellect is out of control, his inner desires are out of control, his whims and fancies are out of control, his rationality qualities are out of control, he is gone loose. So there has to be a method to bring his passion under control. There has to be a method to bring his inner desires under control. There has to be a method to give him strength so that he can control the animal qualities. And there has to be a method that he can control his intellect, his rationality, his behavior, his character, his vulgarity. There has to be a method. And Sharia is saying that the method is you abstain from three things: eating, drinking, and to be engrossed in tasteful, delightful passion. Interacting with women is more detrimental than overeating, because via woman, animalism obtains tremendous strength. History bears testimony to this. If you look around and you look down the corridors of history, many, many men who were potential human beings have been destroyed because of their inclination, illegal inclination towards women. Womanizing destroys the person. Now if we look around, we will see sufficient proof that those who do not control their inner self, those who do not suppress their animalism, they are not human beings. Now, if we control our spiritual self, we harness it, we nourish it, we feed it with the proper food, then the animal self becomes obedient, subservient. However, we must understand something. The Shariat is natural. The Shariat is easy. Deen is natural. Deen is easy. Deen is not difficult. The Shariat does not want to suppress animalism completely. The Shariat does not want to make animalism non-existent. This is not the purpose of the Shariat. Otherwise, the Shariat should have told man that, oh man, you must fast all the time. You must fast without a break. And you must fast continuously. However, the Shariat does not say this. The Shariat is natural. And the Shariat wants certain amount of natural disposition in man. The Shariat wants us not to totally terminate the quality of passion in man. Otherwise, the Shariat will say, do not marry, do not have children. Or the Shariat will say, go into i'tikaf perpetually. But the Shariat is natural. The Shariat says fast. And also for a set duration. So that we allow ourselves control. The Shariat wants us to control our inner desires. The Shariat wants us to control and govern our lust and passion. The Shariat does not want us to destroy it, like how other religions want that the inner desires and passions should be destroyed. No, the purpose is to bring it under control. The purpose of fasting is to discipline all our inner faculties and our nafs, to make it obedient. Because once our inner desires become obedient, then a person, now he becomes full of angelic qualities. And in this way, alhamdulillah, he can gain proximity to Allah, he can gain nearness to Allah, he can gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he now develops the color of human being, and he runs away from the horrible character traits of animalism. So this happens gradually. Every time the animal side wants to influence the angelic side, then it meets with reservation, deliberation, non-acceptance and pondering. See, a man who is fasting, a female who is fasting, will not allow the animal qualities to come inside. That is why the animal self is very depressed and is now being governed and disciplined. Also, we must realize something, that those things the animal side gets stability in, and the angelic side also gets stability in. One is by which the animal side blossoms, and one is by which the angelic side blossoms, and one is the animal side blossoms, and the animal and the angelic side also becomes near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angelic side, for example, does not want to be all the time involved in the presence of woman. The angelic side, in the state of fasting, will love Quran tilawat, will love charity, will love zikr, will love the company of the pious, will love those things that are feeding the natural soul, and will love seeking of knowledge. The angelic side requires food. Just as man requires food to live healthy, the angelic side of man requires proper spiritual food. And in the month of Ramadan, while fasting, a man goes towards Quran Tilawat, he goes towards zikr, he goes towards performance of salah, he increases salat performance, making tarawih salat, and making nafil salat, making qiyamul layl. And know that the hadiths that are talking about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make 8 rakats, that was the hadiths concerning his practice throughout the entire year. So even in Ramadan, besides making 20 rakats of tarawih, they should make 8 rakats of nafil salat throughout the entire year. Like for example, in the Haram these days, they have qiyamul layl. After the tarawih salat, 20 rakats of tarawih salat, they have what we call qiyamul layl, which was the practice of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but individually, not collectively. So we should understand that if we go away from the evil food, that is music, gambling, dancing, interest, then the angelic side will become solidified, it will stabilize, and the animal side will be dashed to the ground and humiliated. Animal side likes certain things. It derives delight from these things, and it becomes strong. And the animal side is loving those things pertaining to the stomach and the private parts. See, the animal side thrives on what is above the navel and what is below the navel. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is why he said that if you guarantee me the control of two between two lips, then I would guarantee you Jannah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, holding his tongue, he said, if you guarantee me control of this tongue, which is between the two lips, then I will guarantee you Jannah. And we know for a fact that how much difficulty our tongue gets us involved in. Backbiting, gossiping, slandering, swearing, vulgarity, carrying of tales, bearing of tales, giving of false witness, and shouting, screaming, singing of blasphemous songs. All these things pertain to the tongue. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if we guarantee him the control of the tongue, then he will guarantee us Jannah. And he said, if you guarantee what lies between the two legs, then we'll guarantee you Jannah. We know that in society, that the tongue and the private parts cause untold difficulties, sin upon sin, darkness upon darkness, evil upon evil, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, all the illegal, haram, illicit relationships, all that is above the navel, below the navel, and by the tongue, we can go safely, unfortunately, to Jahannam. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if we guarantee what is between the legs and what is between the lips, then he guarantees us Jannah. Now, when we control our animal self, slowly, slowly, surely, the spiritual self gains strength over the animal self, and a man progresses slowly, surely, with certainty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, another discussion that we intend doing now is why does not Sharia tell us fast and fast all the time? First of all, we must know to fast all the time is not possible. To strengthen the angelic qualities and to suppress the animal qualities, it is necessary to fast for a special amount of days. It is not necessary that we fast all the time, because deen is natural. We are living in society and we are not living secluded. That's why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, La Rabbaniya fi deen. There is no monasticism in deen. There is no seclusion in deen. We are involved in social affairs, interaction with wives and children. Therefore, Sharia is saying that you should fast, but not all the time. You should fast for a set duration of time. Thus, it is necessary that the Muslim knows that the angel quality have surfaced and some victory over the animal qualities has taken place. By the time of end of Ramadan, every person feels spiritually elevated. Why a person, from biologically speaking, spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, morally speaking, a person, as the 25th fast comes along, 27th fast comes along, a person feels good. A person feels, now I'm on track. Now I feel nice. Why? Because the angelic qualities are now gaining control. Beginning of the fast, beginning of Ramadan, a person is lazy. A person is lethargic. A person is lackadaisical. That he does not want to fast, he does not feel like doing much. But as soon as a person gets accustomed to fasting, then automatically the person wants to make Quran tilawat, extra salat, extra durood, extra zikr, extra nafil ibadat. Why? Because the animal self is going away and the spiritual self is taking full control. That's why the person feels nice. Now, the animal self becomes disciplined and controlled. And when this control and discipline takes place, then a person breaks for Eid. Because Allah has given him the opportunity now that you are governed, you are disciplined, reward yourself with Eid. You have now taken the animal self and suppressed it, reward yourself with Eid and not fasting. Because Eid is the time now to celebrate breaking of the fast. Now a person unfortunately sins, like from one Jummah to another Jummah. A person sins from one Ramzan to another Ramzan. A person develops bad qualities from one Ramzan to another Ramzan. A person develops bad company from one Ramzan to another Ramzan. A person becomes habitual in some illegal, wrong sin from one Ramzan to another Ramzan. So Allah Ta'ala gives you Ramzan upon Ramzan so that you can take stock of ourselves and we can gain control of ourselves again and we can address all our difficulties, our spiritual ailments. We can view them. Every listener knows with certainty that what are my difficulties. Everyone who is listening knows that I have got this spiritual ailment. I do not make Quran tilawat enough. I do not make zikr enough. I do not read Durood Sharif enough. I do not strive in the path of Allah enough. I do not spend in the path of Allah enough. I do not make salat enough. I do not make my farz salat. I do not make salat with jamaat. I do not cover, make hijab. I do not observe the laws of hijab and parda. I listen to music. I do the wrong things. I'm involved in interest. All these things each individual knows. So So Ramzan is a time that a person is able to address these things, so that the person, the mu'min, he moves towards his origin. What he moves towards? He moves towards purity. He moves towards piety. He moves towards the mercy of Allah. Now, when continuous fasting is not possible, then imitating the original, that is to fast all the time, that will produce similar results. See, if a person, he imitates the angels, he becomes like the angels. If a person imitates the shaitans, he will become like the shayateen. Now, the malaika, they do not have to eat, drink, engage in relationship. So man, when he begins to imitate the malaika, the angels, then he will become like the angels. When man stops eating, drinking, and activities for a set stipulated times, then the qualities of the angels come into him. And angels are mukarrabin. They are near to Allah, dear to Allah, beloved to Allah. They are those who are close to Allah. So when we imitate the angels, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also showers His mercy on us. He blesses us with His boons and favors. He lets us elevate spiritually. Now, another topic comes about. It is necessary to specify the days and times of fasting. When it is difficult for the common man to fast continuously, then we have to fast at intervals. It is necessary to specify so that one does not get involved in two extremes. See, if there is no specification, then the lax ones, the lazy ones, will specify a very small quantity, that the amount will reap no benefit and result. And those who exceed the boundaries will specify a large amount of fasting, that the limbs will become weak and nourishment will be stifled and the nafs will become so weak and feeble that it will get a person ready for the graveyard. Whereas the purpose of fasting is not to damage the body or the mind, but it is a remedy to create a balanced progress. So understand this point, that why it is necessary in Islam that we have 30 days of fasting. Because if it was left to every individual that you can fast how much you want, for example, let us say that it was left unto every individual that you fast how much you want. So a person who does not like fasting, he will say, no, I'll fast 3 days. In the month of Ramadan, only 3 days I'll fast. On the other hand, a person who loves to fast and he wants to control his inner passions and desires, he'll say, no, I'll fast whole year round. So there are two extremes now. One person who says, oh, I'll fast very little bit. And one person will say, I'll fast all the time. Or I'll fast 40, 50 days. Now, Islam is a deen, a natural deen. It is balanced. It will not allow us to destroy our body. Islam is a deen to protect our spiritual being, a deen to protect our morality and chastity, dignity, property, life, iman. Islam is a deen to protect our physique, our body, and mind. Islam will not allow a person to self-destruct. Islam will not allow a person to go and commit suicide. Why suicide is haram? Because a person's life is a trust. He must not destroy it. Islam does not allow a person that, like how some others have it, when they come into certain months, then they cut themselves. They beat themselves and they punish themselves. Islam does not want that. And Islam does not want us to take swords and put in our bellies and to take swords and knives and put on our chest. Islam is not that in certain functions, you'll see that they start making zikr, jumping and shouting and screaming and going into ecstasy and trance, and after that, taking swords and damaging our bodies and injuring ourselves. Any person will know that that is wrong, what's happening there. Because Islam does not want us to do certain things that will destroy and harm or injure our bodies. That is why Allah has the final say. He said, you fast ayyam ma'dudat, a special, specific number of days. Ramadan can only be 29 or 30. Ramadan cannot be 28 or 31. So, Islam wants us to fast for a specific amount of days so that the proper results come out. If a person fasts less than that in Ramadan, the results desired will not materialize. And if a person fasts more than that, then he will be harming himself. So Islam said that another topic we're coming on to now, a good way is for spiritual reformation is to lessen the eating and drinking. Now there are two ways and two methods of lessening eating and drinking. One is to make less the quantity of food and drink. That means a person will eat little bit, drink little bit. Number two is that to increase the gap between the normal eating times. See, just to repeat, that there are two methods of controlling eating and drinking. One is a person says that, no, I will eat little bit, whole day, I'll cut my diet. And another way is, no, I'll increase the intervals between eating and drinking. But the Sharia has preferred the second method for two reasons. That is, the Sharia has said that increase the gap. Now the body becomes light and comfortable, easy and movable, and the nafs becomes tired. And this is the purpose of fasting. The person tastes hunger and thirst. See, if a person eats a little bit whole day, he does not have the benefit of tasting hunger and thirst. But by having a big gap between Subah Sadiq and sunset, then the person will have the true benefit of fasting and he'll taste hunger and thirst. The heart awakens to help the needy and the poor. And by this method, fear and awe is instilled in the evil side of man and openly attacks the animal side, by which the animal side is overpowered and overwhelmed, and the quantity of taqwa is created. Now, with the method that we increase the interval of fasting, then, alhamdulillah, a person can become pious. Now, to reduce the quantity per person, specifically, then what will one person will say that, you see, I eat half a kilo and another person eats 3/4 kilo, so he'll decide, no, I will fast and I will just cut my half a kilo by another half kilo. Whilst the other person will say, no, I'll cut it by a half. So each person will be cutting his quantity of intake by his own judgment. And what will happen? The purpose of fasting will be extinguished and the flame of hunger will not be experienced and the thirst will not be experienced. Why? You will see some nations, what they have done, that they say, no, we can fast, but we'll only drink water. Some nations say, no, we will fast, but we'll only have a fruit diet. Some nations say, no, we will fast, but we will not eat any meat. Some nations say, no, we will fast, but we will have only dairy products. Some nations say, no, we will fast, but we will only have vegetables. And some say, no, we will fast, but our fasting will be only having fruit juices. Some nations say, no, we will fast, but our fasting will be for few hours only. Now, all these systems that are prevalent are not producing the results which Islam wants. That is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that a person becomes pious. So the person feels hunger and thirst. So the person feels, I must aid the poor and the needy and the destitute. So the person feels the cramps in the stomach. The person feels the flame of hunger in the mind and in the stomach. Now, if a person, for example, is eating only fruit, that person actually is not creating any hunger and thirst. If a person says, no, I will only have fruit juices, there is proper intake. That person is not going to feel weak. That person is not going to feel the benefit of fasting. That person is not going to enjoy the purpose of fasting. For example, if a person says, no, I'll only eat vegetables, there is intake there. There is food going in the system, and the person is not going to enjoy the feeling of hunger and the feeling of thirst. That person is not going to feel how a hungry person feels. And the concept certain people have that, no, why must I fast? I've got so much of food. Lately, one brother told me about one very wealthy person. And this person repeatedly used to say, why must I fast? I've got tons of food. Allah Jalla Majdu made it such that today that person has repented because Allah made him into a pauper. Now, alhamdulillah, he's coming back onto his feet, making sincere tawbah of what his blasphemous statements were. That, why must I fast? I am a wealthy person. There is sufficient food available. So, we must realize that the purpose of fasting is to create the need, that we recognize the poor man's need and we come to their aid and their assistance. Alhamdulillah, we have discussed many issues concerning fasting and from the origins of fasting and right up to purpose, significance, and also why we stay away from drinking, eating, and activities. Now, alhamdulillah, we should make dua that Allah Jalla Majdahu, He accepts our ibadat. Many have made lot of night vigils. Many of us, alhamdulillah, have read Quran, made Taraweeh, Jamaat. And here we must also understand something very, very simple, that in Islam, there is no congregational night vigil. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, no one can prove in the Sharia that they should go to the masjid in the nights of Shab-e Barat, on the nights of Laylatul Qadr, the possibilities, or the nights of the Eid, and engage themselves in congregational activities or night vigil. Night vigil, staying up a night in the masjid congregationally, is not proven in Shariat. We should go home. It is written clearly in Ahsan al-Fatawa. Mufti Abdul Rashid Ludhiyanvi Rahmatullah explains this. Certain people say, no, it is better that we go to the masjid and make ibadat. He said, no, you must go home and stay. Even if you do not make ibadat, you should go and make individual dua. Allah will reward you. Do those things which are proven. Stay away from those things which cannot be substantiated. We appeal to the listeners of Radio Al Ansar that make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us and grants us khatima bil khair. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.